Well, if Colin Kaepernick is very excited that he's got his contract done, the team is beyond elated to get this deal done. They're never going to admit it. That's not the way it works. Here's how it happens. The deal is signed, and then the agents leak the numbers to the media, and they'll pick someone that they think will go along with it. Not everyone will go along with it. I don't go along with it. When someone tries to tell me a deal is worth up to $126 million, I say, well, what is the base value of the deal? And when someone tells me the deal is worth $61 million guaranteed, I ask them how much of it is fully guaranteed upon signing. Those questions weren't asked initially, creating the false impression for hours that Kaepernick had signed a $126 million extension with $61 million guaranteed. The truth is far different than that. Now, the up to, it gets a little complicated. There's $12 million tied to what we call de-escalators, where he actually makes less money if he doesn't reach certain triggers. For example, to get the full $12 million that otherwise goes away, he has to take 80% of the snaps, and he either has to lead the team to the Super Bowl or make it to the first team or second team All-Pro. Not Pro Bowl, All-Pro. Good luck making it to All-Pro without an MVP type of a season, because there's always going to be another quarterback that's getting all the votes. And also, it's completely subjective. It's determined by individual voters. So if he doesn't reach that amount this year, if he doesn't get the 80% play time or, and this gets confusing, 80% play time and take the team to the Super Bowl or first team or second team All-Pro, $2 million goes away for 2015. Next year, if he does it, $2 million stays, and it stays the rest of the way. This is kind of a weird thing. If he does this, if he reaches this trigger in any year, the rest of the de-escalators go away. But until he does it, he loses $2 million per year. That's one way that the up to is false. Also, $2 million per year in per-game roster bonuses. That means for any game and every game that he misses, starting in 2015 and continuing through the life of the contract, $125,000 goes bye-bye. Never gets earned, goes away. Most importantly, the guaranteed money. And this is something that we've harped on for the past couple of years, the whole concept of guaranteed money. What really is guaranteed? What's guaranteed is what you get when you sign the contract. And a guy like Tom Brady, who was praised for taking less last year, he got $30 million to sign his new contract. Kaepernick got $12 million to sign. When you factor in his base salary for this year and his workout bonus, you're looking at just over $13 million in fully guaranteed money at signing. After that, it's a year-to-year deal. It is something that has injury guarantee of a total of $61 million. But that only kicks in for a truly career-ending injury. Anything else than that, the 49ers can walk away. When can they walk away? How can they walk away? Well, they can walk away by April 1 of each year. And that is a critical date in this. A lot of these contracts have a provision that converts guaranteed money for injury only to full guarantee right after the Super Bowl. The waiver period for the next year, it begins a day after the Super Bowl. The money gets locked in. It goes from injury only to fully guaranteed. That means you're stuck with the guy for the coming year. Richard Sherman's contract does that, for example. He gets his injury only guaranteed money fully guaranteed within the first year or two of the contract. It's all money he's going to make. And if they cut him, he's going to walk away with like $15 million for 1 year. Not a bad deal. For Kaepernick, if they'd cut him after 1 year, he gets $13 million. Not horrible, but not nearly franchise quarterback money. And here's the key. Instead of the 49ers having to make their decision right after the Super Bowl, before free agency starts, they have until April 1. Now think about this. Think about what this means for the 49ers and why in the world would Kaepernick's agents agree to this. By April 1, the 49ers have a full and complete opportunity to evaluate what they have in Colin Kaepernick and also to see what else is out there in free agency, to see what else is available via trade, to try to work out a trade, to try to sign a free agent. They have until April 1. They've got 3 weeks of free agency to make a final decision. And if they decide to move on from Colin Kaepernick, he gets thrust onto the market at a time when the money's already been spent. Now, somebody would find money for a truly great quarterback, but if the 49ers are letting him go, it's going to be because he played more like he did during stretches of the regular season last year when we were wondering whether or not they made the wrong decision by keeping Kaepernick instead of Alex Smith. Maximum flexibility for the 49ers, maximum ability to explore their other options each and every year of the deal before that injury-only guarantee becomes fully guaranteed. And speaking of the injury-only guarantee, this contract has a provision that required Kaepernick to actually go out and buy a disability policy worth $20 million, payable to the team if he has a career-ending injury. So if he has a career-ending injury, he gets $61 million. But the 49ers get $20 million of it back. And if it happens later in the deal, now I don't know how long this insurance policy has to be in place, but as he earns some of this injury-only guarantee, if they keep him around 2, 3, 4 years, the 49ers are going to get more back on that policy than what they still owe him in injury guaranteed money. So, look, the false impression that was created made everyone think it was a great deal, top of the market deal, highest paid player in NFL history. That makes the reality even more glaring, and that makes it look like an even worse deal because we were led to believe it was a great deal, best deal ever. Well, no, it's just kind of a good deal. And it makes people who get miffed at the intentional efforts to mislead the media even more inclined to continue to pick at the deal, which I will continue to do. But the question now becomes, how will the agents for other quarterbacks pick at this deal? At first, the impression was, oh boy, hey, Buss Cook, who represents Cam Newton, he's going to get a lot more money because Colin Kaepernick got this huge deal. Maybe Cam Newton gets the same deal. Maybe he demands that same deal today. Well, the reality is, the Panthers would be wise to offer that same deal right now to Cam Newton, and Cam Newton would be wise to say, I'm not interested in that deal. That deal's an aberration. I don't want that deal. I'll keep playing out my rookie contract. I got 2 years left. I'll back you into a corner. That's what we've seen a lot of franchise quarterbacks do. You back the team into a corner. I've heard it suggested that Kaepernick didn't have any leverage. He's got plenty of leverage. Yeah, he's getting $1 million this year, but once he gets through this season, all the cards are turned up in his favor. So with Cam Newton, if the 49ers, or if the Panthers rather, don't want to pay him what he's worth, he can play it out and the salary cap will go up. And that's the key to keep in mind for Cam Newton and the other quarterbacks out there who want new contracts. Each year now, the salary cap is going to go up. It went up $10 million this year, and that shocked everybody. I suggested last night it's going to go up $10 million next year. Somebody with knowledge of how this stuff works told me it's not going to go up $10 million next year. My thought was, okay, it's going to go up less. No, it's going up more than $10 million next year. The next year, more than $10 million. We're going to be over $160 million before too long. Now, when the cap was $123 million, the high end for quarterbacks was $20 million. We get up to $160 million, $26 million is what that translates to if you look at the percentage of the salary cap. So the top of the market is going to go up. Kaepernick has locked himself in for 7 years on a deal that is below market now, and it's going to be woefully below market before too long. It reminds me of the deals that the Eagles did 10, 15 years ago where they would find a young player, they would dangle some money in his face, they'd lock him up for like 8 years like Sean Andrews, and then 3, 4 years into the deal, it's like, what did I sign? This deal's horrible in comparison to the contracts out there. That's what the 49ers did with Kaepernick, and this isn't going to end well. If he plays to the level that we've seen, the good side of him, the playoff Colin Kaepernick, he's going to be very upset in a couple of years because others are going to rocket by him, and he's going to be left in the dust from a financial standpoint. Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Nick Foles, the list goes on and on. The challenge will be in the short term to not let their teams come to them and say, we'll give you the Kaepernick deal, but to hold firm for something better. I think history is going to tell us that this Kaepernick deal was very, very bad, even though the impression that was created initially was that it was very, very good, if not the best deal ever. When we return, we'll talk more about Colin Kaepernick and what this deal means to the San Francisco 49ers, what it means to Coach Jim Harbaugh, what it means to other guys they're trying to sign when we visit with Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area. And then we'll talk to you about anything you want to talk about, especially if you call. Now, if you've already asked a Twitter question, we know what you want to talk about. But you can call in. You can try to stump me. You can try to befuddle me. Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last. We'll see if you can do it to wrap the show. Before that, we'll talk to Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area. We'll be right back. This is PFT Live. He doesn't know how right he is when he says that, because the only way he's getting the big money under that contract is if he keeps playing at a level where the 49ers decide to keep him around, because it's a year-to-year proposition. They are not locked in for anything beyond 2014, and so it goes each year of the deal. And so we go to our good friend Matt Maiocco from CSNBayArea.com. Give me your initial reaction to the reports of the Kaepernick deal, and then your reaction once we got the numbers out there and we saw what it was really all about.
Well, my initial reaction was exactly to kind of reserve judgment until you see what the contract is all about. I mean, we know time and time again, you know, that when that initial report of guaranteed money comes out, and I don't even know why the contracts talk about you know, this injury-only guarantee. I mean, to me, a guarantee is a full guarantee, and the fact that that $61 million in reported guaranteed money is actually just a little bit more than $13 million, to me, that's shocking. And, you know, kudos to you, Mike, for really disclosing the full details of that contract. And to me, I looked at that, and I was a reaction was that either Kaepernick really meant his words, that he's willing to bet on himself and earn the money. But also, let's face it, Parag Marathe is a very shrewd negotiator, and the 49ers typically sign team-friendly deals. They set a time frame of getting a deal done for the start of training camp. The fact of the matter is they signed this contract, they consummated this deal 7 weeks before the start of training camp. And so when that came in yesterday, 7 full weeks ahead of training camp, my first thought was, I bet you this is a team-friendly deal, or else the 49ers wouldn't have done it. The question I have is, why would Scott Smith, XAM Sports, who, you know, granted doesn't have much of a clientele base, and Kaepernick is his only quarterback, and he's, you know, far and away his biggest client, why wouldn't he just wait a little while and at least get the 2015 season guaranteed? But, you know, as you stated, it's a year-to-year thing with Colin Kaepernick, and if the 49ers end up paying that entire, you know, reported $126 million, they will be ecstatic, because it means the 49ers will have won a lot of Super Bowls in the next 7 seasons.
You talked about the possibility that Kaepernick really did consciously choose to bet on himself. But wouldn't the best bet on himself to have been to play out his rookie contract like we saw Joe Flacco do a couple of years ago and put the team in a box where they have to decide, do we use the non-exclusive franchise tag and risk someone signing him to an offer sheet? Do we use the exclusive franchise tag, which just spirals out of control if you do that on a year-to-year basis? Why not just go all in and say, we'll talk to you next February?
Well, because, I mean, I'm going to play the role here that Colin Kaepernick went into this with his eyes completely open, knew exactly what he was signing. And let's face it, Colin Kaepernick is not a dummy. He is a very smart kid. So I can't imagine that he didn't know exactly what he was signing. Now, maybe he doesn't know precedents and what other contracts look like around the NFL. But he had stated that his goal wasn't to hold the 49ers over a barrel like Joe Flacco did. I mean, Joe Flacco got, what, $20 million, $29 million in a signing bonus, you know, $16 million more in just upfront money than Kaepernick, and we see what's happened with the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens had to make some very difficult decisions. Kaepernick had stated from the beginning that he wanted a fair deal that would enable the 49ers to keep the team together and go after Super Bowl titles in the near future and in the distant future. So, you know, I'm going to say that Kaepernick delivered on his promise, that it wasn't all about the money for him. There's no question, had he played out this season, he'd be looking at a big franchise number, and then if he ever were to hit the open market, or he simply got a market deal from the 49ers, he would be sitting a lot prettier financially than he is right now. So I guess, even though I don't know that there's very many agents out there who would allow a client such as Kaepernick to agree to this kind of deal, I think we got to give credit for Kaepernick for not being greedy when it came to this contract negotiation.
Do you think at a certain level Colin Kaepernick was maybe concerned that he could end up playing in year three like we saw him play at times in the regular season last year? It's amazing how quickly everyone forgot the struggles that he had following that 400-plus yard performance against the Packers. He went through 8-9 weeks where he averaged 130, 140 passing yards a game. He was turning to Twitter for motivation. He found the gas pedal late in the year, but do you think at any level it was creeping in his mind that, you know what, I could have a really bad season this year and not get anything close to the deal that's on the table?
You know, I didn't look at it like that. To me, I kind of looked at it from the other standpoint. You know, what were the 49ers thinking in having this be their initial offer? You know, obviously, Jim Harbaugh has talked glowingly about Colin Kaepernick in the present tense and in talking about him for the future, that he feels like he's going to have this breakout season even more than he's already had coming up. You know, Jed York said that that he's delivered as far as he deserves an elite quarterback type of salary. But in the structure of this deal, you know, the 49ers are saying one thing, which is this guy is a can't miss. He's our future. He's the franchise quarterback. He's going to be a superstar. He already is, and he will continue to be. But they gave themselves, as you mentioned, a series of outs throughout the length of this 7-year deal. And if at any point they change their mind that, you know what, maybe this guy isn't the right guy, then they can easily cut bait and go on and try to find somebody else who is.
And, you know, Matt, where that becomes even more important is when we consider Jim Harbaugh's status with the team. My first thought is, hey, they've made this huge investment in Colin Kaepernick. Now they have to pay Harbaugh to keep him around to justify the investment made in Kaepernick. Now that we know the deal, hey, if Harbaugh is ever gone, new coach doesn't want Colin Kaepernick. They have until April 1 in any given year to make their decision. New coach could say, I'm moving on with a new quarterback.
And you know what's also interesting about this is that, you know, the kind of hidden text with the 49ers is that they're not going to pay Jim Harbaugh like a Super Bowl winning coach until he wins a Super Bowl. You know, that's why he hasn't signed that contract extension. That's why he's decided to gamble on himself with 2 years left on his deal. Going back to your first question, initially when I heard the contract numbers, my thought was, well, the 49ers are paying Colin Kaepernick like he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. When the numbers came in, as you reported last night, what's very clear is that the 49ers aren't paying their head coach like a Super Bowl winning coach until he wins a Super Bowl, and they're not going to be paying Colin Kaepernick like a Super Bowl winning quarterback until he wins a Super Bowl. So I see Kaepernick and Harbaugh situations in a very similar light, in that the team has kind of drawn the line in the sand, saying we'll pay you like a Super Bowl winner when you win a Super Bowl, and both Kaepernick and Harbaugh have kind of put their money where their mouth is and said, you know, I'm going to gamble on myself to get compensated like a Super Bowl winner because I believe I can win a Super Bowl. And so that is clearly what this franchise has set out to do, and that's what the head coach and the quarterback have set out to do, and anything short of that will be considered a failure from here on out.
And that is such an excellent point. Now I'm thinking of all the possibilities for Jim Harbaugh's next contract. Maybe we'll see a de-escalator in there that ties money to the team getting back to the Super Bowl again. And if he doesn't get there, he loses money that otherwise is in the base value. But for Harbaugh, there's no salary cap. When I think about your comments on Kaepernick and how he understands what he's doing, he's gambling on himself, I feel like he's missing one very important reality, Matt. I feel like Kaepernick isn't factoring into his assessment of his value the ongoing increases in the salary cap. Because if the cap keeps going up the way we think it will, this could be a very ordinary deal within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. And here's another thing that I don't know that he or his agents really factored in either, is that the impact that this deal has on some of the other, you know, young quarterbacks who are coming up for their contracts. And, you know, how much will Seattle be looking at this when a year from now they're talking extension with Russell Wilson, you know, with the Colts, you know, the Panthers with their quarterbacks? What's going to happen? You know, do teams, I would think that teams might look at this and go, boy, I would love to get our quarterbacks, you know, Cam Newton and Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson on this kind of contract. But, you know, the agents who represent those guys are looking at this Colin Kaepernick contract as a complete anomaly, and they're going to rip this thing up, and they're not even going to allow this to be talked about in any contract negotiations.
Yeah, that's a great point. And speaking of the agents, there's some rumbling out there that the 49ers were concerned that another agent or agents were swimming around trying to get their teeth into Kaepernick and take him away from his current representation, and other agents, more experienced agents, bigger name agents, would have been in a position to drive a harder bargain. So the 49ers wanted to get this done before his agents lost him to someone else. Have you heard anything along those lines? Are you buying that at all?
I have heard that, and yes, I'm buying it. I mean, there's a reason, and I think that Kaepernick is a pretty loyal guy, and I think at this point, yes, there were agents kind of swarming around and trying to get in his ear, but I think he was going to stick with Scott Smith at XAM Sports regardless. Still, I think that the 49ers believed, and as it turns out, rightfully so, that their best chance of getting a deal done, an easy deal done, a deal done that doesn't even push up against that self-imposed time frame of training camp, was to get something done with this representation. So it certainly worked out for them. How much of Scott Smith's inexperience in negotiating these kinds of deals factored into it? I tell you what, just the initial reaction from Kaepernick is that he knew what he was getting into. I mean, he talked about it yesterday, it's not all about the money, but it's the agent's job to handle that, to insulate the client from that kind of thinking and get the best deal that he possibly can for his client. And I don't think there's any question that Colin Kaepernick's agent did not get the best deal he possibly could for his client.
Meanwhile, other guys in line for new contracts, one guy whose contract isn't up yet or even after this season, tight end Vernon Davis, talking yesterday about his desire for a new contract. He explained to CNBC it's not about getting the contract, it's about building his brand. He's caught up in this whole Fantex experiment. What does Vernon Davis want, and when is he going to show up?
Well, this is kind of a puzzling contract ploy that I'm not sure I completely understand. And I'm not sure exactly what the end game is for Vernon Davis, who has intimated that the upcoming mandatory minicamp is mandatory. So, and he said, quote, maybe I should be there. Well, if he has intimated, suggested that he will show up for all mandatory functions, such as that minicamp, June 17th through the 19th, if he shows up for that, then we can assume that he'll show up for the beginning of training camp in late July. And all of a sudden, poof, there goes your negotiating or your leverage power. So, he's already the third highest paid tight end in the league, making $7.35 million a year. Number one on that list is Gronkowski, whose big money doesn't kick in for another couple seasons. So I think Vernon is pretty fairly compensated right now. Yes, he has 2 years left on his deal. He says he wants to end with the 49ers. That's what he's looking for. But obviously, what you're looking for when you're, quote-unquote, trying to build your brand is for a bigger contract and more guaranteed money. So I think the 49ers, there's clearly some contract issues still out there. And I'm thinking of two guards, Mike Iupati and Alex Boone. I'm thinking of Alden Smith, who has two more years left on his deal, including next year when he's going to be playing 2015, that option. So that's something that I think the 49ers would like to have done. Granted, of course, he remains clean off the field. There's Michael Crabtree. There are a few other issues that I think rank on a much higher priority level than Vernon Davis. So I can't imagine the 49ers touching Vernon Davis's contract at all. And I think they would probably be very happy seeing him play out the final 2 years of that deal, after which he'll be 32 years old.
There was a discussion yesterday by Fantech CEO Buck French in an appearance with Davis on CNBC that if he has any type of material injury, Davis has an obligation to disclose it to Fantech. Fantech then discloses it to investors. How does the team feel about the idea that Vernon Davis now has an obligation to make his own private injury report to his investors?
I think that that is probably not something that Jim Harbaugh would approve of. And Jim Harbaugh, there have been a lot of times when I've gone into the locker room and started talking to players who have missed time or missed practice time, and especially in training camp, whenever they're not required to disclose injuries, the severity of injuries and what the injuries are. I've had players look me in the face and say, "I would tell you what's ailing me, but I can't. They don't want me to discuss that." So the fact that Vernon Davis is now required to disclose the severity of his injuries and the exact nature of his injuries is something that really clashes with Jim Harbaugh's nature of trying to keep every possible advantage, and including not allowing the public, and more specifically the upcoming team, to know the extent of a player's injury.
Give me a percentage chance that Jim Harbaugh signs a new contract with the 49ers before the end of the 2014 season.
I would say, he'll end up signing it today, but I would think I would think pretty slim. And the reason is because I think the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers talked last year at this time. They couldn't get anything done, and that was when the 49ers were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. Last year, they made it to the NFC Championship game. You can't tell me that the 49ers' offer is going to go up from a year ago when they didn't get back to the Super Bowl, and you can't tell me that Jim Harbaugh's asking price is going to come down based on the fact that they still made it to the NFC Championship game. I don't think his opinion of himself as a coach has changed, and I don't think the 49ers will give him the kind of deal he's looking for unless he wins the Super Bowl. So I think that ultimately this season will play out, and depending on what happens this upcoming season, which, by the way, promises to be quite a fascinating story to be told with everything that's happening with the 49ers, I think they'll let this season play out before both sides determine what their next move is. Another thing to keep in mind is, it's going to be next offseason, really. That's the same time frame that Seattle ended up signing Pete Carroll to his extension. So, if you use that time frame as kind of a benchmark of what could happen with the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh, there's really not a pressing need because he still has two more years left on his contract.
Well, interesting stuff, and Pete Carroll has added a little more fuel to the fire, reportedly telling Seahawks fans at an event, "Jim Harbaugh is a great coach and we love beating him." We're going to have to wait a while to see if the Seahawks can beat the 49ers again. Should be a great season. Matt, we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks as always for your time.
All right, Mike. Thank you, and good work on getting all the details of Kaepernick's contract.
All right. Thank you. That's Matt Maiocco, CSNBayArea.com. It was not easy to get those details, but I think folks who had the information were motivated to share those details because it was such an egregious example of puffing up numbers to make them look like something they weren't. There will be no puffing of our phone number. We will tell you exactly what the phone number is if you would like to pick up your cell phone device and give us a call. It's 888-237-5269. That is the actual accurate number. You will not be calling a pizza shop somewhere. Although if you would like a pizza, we could try to make arrangements to get you one. I can't make any promises there, but I do promise that if you call, we'll take your call after the break. 888-237-5269. We'll be right back. This is PFT Live. Oh, it's PFT Planet time. I always love to see that logo and love to see what comes after it because it's usually a question. And it's a question that I know I can answer. See, I can pick the Twitter questions. Can't pick the phone calls. Can pick the Twitter questions. First Twitter question comes from @ccrawl, who has become a loyal asker of questions. If the NFL is a copycat league, why aren't more teams copying San Francisco and Seattle, picking up running backs and valuing them higher in the draft? You know what? That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. We had the Seahawks a couple of years ago use a second-round pick on Kristen Michael. I know it looks like Christine. Christian Michael, second-round pick. Haven't seen much from him yet. This year, a year after the 49ers took a flyer on Marcus Lattimore mid-round, a guy who would have been a first-rounder potentially if he hadn't torn up his knee, second-round pick on Carlos Hyde. So you have to wonder, are these teams onto something? We won't know until we see what these guys can do. For now, unproven. For now, stuck behind Marshawn Lynch and Frank Gore, respectively, in Seattle and San Francisco. So they could be onto something. We just won't know until we see what these guys can do. I'm still a firm believer that you can find running backs late in the draft, or you can find running backs after the draft has ended. There are so many guys, sea to shining sea, college football running backs who, at the next level, if you can block for them and teach them how not to fumble when they are being banged around by real men, big men, NFL men, the best that the college game has had to offer for the last decade or longer, you can find running backs without making that big investment in the draft. All right, next up, another Twitter question from Steve W. Matthews. What does Kaepernick's contract mean for the Bengals in the negotiations with Andy Dalton? Well, here's what I would do if I were Bengals owner Mike Brown. I would offer the same contract to Andy Dalton right now. If I were Panthers owner Jerry Richardson, I would offer the same contract to Cam Newton right now. As Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area explained earlier, this is going to be a situation where agents point to the Kaepernick contract and call it an aberration, something they don't want to hear about. We're not talking about the Kaepernick contract. Dalton's going to continue to talk about the Cutler contract because the Cutler contract pays out $54 million over the first 3 years with the kind of payout year one that would make it crazy to cut him. $22.5 million base salary, fully guaranteed for Jay Cutler in 2014. If they cut him after 1 year, Jay Cutler's going to say, thank you very much. Now I'll go get paid somewhere else. That's the deal that you want if you're Andy Dalton or Cam Newton or anyone else. You don't want the Kaepernick deal. And if you're the Bengals or the Panthers or any other team that's trying to sign a young franchise quarterback, and I know we don't know whether or not Dalton really is one, but he thinks he is one, and maybe he is one, you'd be glad to offer that Kaepernick deal. So it becomes an obstacle for Newton and Dalton and all the others, but that obstacle quickly should become a speed bump. It's going to take one guy to hold firm and say, we're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. We're not going to do the Colin Kaepernick contract. Sorry, it worked on Kaepernick. It's not working on us. One guy does it. That should turn the page on the Kaepernick deal. Next up, time to go to the phone lines. Rick in Iowa, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's up?
Oh, just wanted to know what you think chances are Browns win their division.
Well, that's a good question. It's a nice general question, so I can pretty much say whatever I'd like to. I think it's going to be a long shot for the Browns to win the division this year. I think they are moving closer to the pack. They've been left behind in recent years, 4-12 last year, four games behind third place. That's not good. I think the gap will be narrower. I'm not ready to say they're going to be in fourth place this year, but who are the three teams ahead of them will take their place at the bottom of the ladder? I think the Steelers right now, and this isn't my official prediction, I'm going to delay that as long as I can. Right now, Steelers are the team that I would pick if I had to pick right now, and I don't, to win the division. Bengals, Ravens, who knows how it shakes out. I think the Browns can show some progress this year. To win the division, hey, look, we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen teams turn it around. 2-14 Chiefs go to the playoffs. Maybe the Browns can be that team this year. They are just in a difficult division, arguably the toughest division top to bottom in the AFC, although I know AFC West right now, they're pretty good too. They sent three teams to the playoffs this past year, but not long ago the AFC North did the same thing. What we're going to do is take another Twitter question. This one comes from at Riz Zaman. Do you think Will Hill's career is over? I don't think it's over, but he's suspended six games to start the 2014 season. So while he continues to be tested up to 10 times a month, if he can avoid another violation that would put him in line presumably for a one-year suspension, now that he's presumably in stage three of the program, he's a guy that I think would potentially find a home after his suspension ends. Used to be, if you got suspended, you couldn't serve the weeks until you were on a team. And that ended a few guys' careers. I remember Andre Rison couldn't find anyone to sign him because he had a suspension that he couldn't serve until he was signed. No one wanted to sign him, and it just kind of created a spiral? And that was it. For Will Hill, he can serve his six games and he'll be available, and we'll see what happens. So I'd say get back to me in October, and we'll see where Will Hill stands. A lot of it depends on what kind of shape he's in. And again, if he can stay clean, another violation, and he is done. Next up, John in Portland. Welcome back, John in Portland.
Hi, Mike. With all this quarterback news, I was wondering what you thought of the deal that Alex Smith might get this year, or does he even get a deal?
Well, thank you very much for that question. And you know what? My first thought was, when I got the full details on the Colin Kaepernick contract, that that still may be more than Alex Smith should get. But you know, $13 million for 1 year, another $13 or $14 million for a second year. I think in addition to being willing to offer the same contract to Cam Newton or Andy Dalton or any other young franchise quarterback, I think the Chiefs should just take the contract, cross out everywhere it says 49ers, put in Chiefs, cross out everywhere it says Kaepernick, put in Alex Smith, and say, here, we'll give you this deal right now. And look, I don't want to overdo my criticism of this Kaepernick deal. If it works for him, that's fine. He's still got more money today than he had yesterday. But we're talking about high-stakes poker here. We're talking about franchise quarterbacks. We're talking about an environment where the salary cap is going up $10 million a year. We're talking about getting paid while you can. We're talking about getting back to the market while you're on the right side of 30. On almost every factor, every measurable, this deal is not a good deal if you're a franchise quarterback. Maybe Colin Kaepernick's not a franchise quarterback, but you know what? If he's not a franchise quarterback, he's going to get an opportunity to negotiate a new deal sooner rather than later, because he's not going to be a member of the 49ers anymore. So to answer the question, yeah, this is another one that Alex Smith's agents are going to have to try to distance themselves from Colin Kaepernick's contract. It's going to be hard to do because Kaepernick's the guy who displaced Smith from San Francisco. Another Twitter question at TheFib0624. Which free agent tight end returning from injury will be more effective this season, Jermichael Finley or Dustin Keller, and where do they sign? Well, I really don't know. I saw that Ian Rapoport of NFL Network recently suggested the Steelers and the Raiders have interest in Finley. Steelers make sense because Dr. Joseph Maroon, who did Finley's surgery and cleared him to return to football, is one of the Steelers' doctors. So you've got to find a team that will clear you to play via its doctors. Steelers may clear Jermichael Finley to play, but I think the Steelers, they'll play it very coy. They'll wait till all the other options are exhausted, and they'll get Finley on the cheap. Now, the problem is if the contract is too cheap, that's where Finley has to make that decision. Do I retire and take my disability policy, or do I keep playing football, forfeit the policy, and continue to put myself at risk? Ultimately, the smart decision for Finley, if he can still get that money, even though he's been cleared to play by his doctor, the smart move may be to walk away. Raiders make sense. They're interested in every older free agent that's available. But Patriots have already brought in Jermichael Finley for a visit. There was talk that Dustin Keller could end up joining the Patriots after June 1 when the acquisition no longer counts toward the compensatory draft pick formula. There's been no noise yet of Keller and the Patriots getting together. So beyond New England, I don't know for Dustin Keller, and he's going to have to prove he's healthy. It's a shame what happened to him, that low hit in the preseason. He did a one-year deal trying to really prove that he could be a high-end option at tight end, and now he's in a position where he's having a hard time even finding a job. We're going to find our way back to that. There's nothing else. That's it. We're done. Dustin Keller may be done. Jermichael Finley may be done. We're done for today. We'll be back tomorrow. But in the interim, I've got bad news. No Pro Football Talk on NBCSN tonight. We have been preempted as the build-up to the Belmont Stakes continues. First opportunity for a Triple Crown winner in, sources close to me tell me, 36 years. That's a long time ago. Can California Chrome, I think that's the name of the horse, California Chrome, can California Chrome get it done? There'll be coverage in advance of the Belmont Stakes tonight and tomorrow night on NBCSN. We encourage you to watch that. Check out the hockey as well. Two great game last night if you missed it. We'll be back for PFT Live tomorrow at noon Eastern time and around the clock, ProFootballTalk.com. More reaction to the Colin Kaepernick deal, trying to spin it forward, make sense of it, and anything else that happens. Teams are still in OTAs and all that other stuff. So see you back here again tomorrow. Check us out around the clock. Have a good day. Yeah. Since we're not talking about anything else, yeah. All right. All right. The one thing to know today is that, as usual, the initial reports of a big money contract aren't nearly as generous as they seem to be. For 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, it could be the most egregious example of overreported contract value. It looked like the biggest deal in NFL history. The reality is it's a below-market quarterback contract that gives the 49ers maximum flexibility year in and year out to decide what they want to do with Colin Kaepernick. And there's an interesting twist here. Every year, they have until April 1 before money that is guaranteed for career-ending injury only becomes fully guaranteed. So they have several weeks of free agency to look for other options, maybe swing a trade.